But I was reading last week, a couple of days ago, a book about animals. It was specifically about dogs and cats and horses. Well, as you could see, we have a cat here, and there's a dog also. So I'm concerned to keep them healthy and happy. And when I was reading this book, I read something which was very shocking to me, very deeply shocking. She was speaking about the animals' energy field, speaking about the way in which they relate emotionally and psychically with people. And then she was speaking about how animals, especially cats and dogs, need to have a purpose in life. If they don't have a purpose in life, if they don't feel any reason for their existence, they become so depressed that they don't feel like living anymore. And when they don't feel like living anymore, they gradually don't eat properly, they don't take care of themselves at all, and they may even just fade away. And she started explaining about her experiences with animals who have even committed, or who are so depressed, it seems as if they were committing suicide by running in front of cars or in other ways. Because sometimes you wonder, why are they running in front of cars like this? What? And then when she said that they are so depressed that they commit suicide, it was like a deep shock for me. So I started looking at them in a different way because, I mean, their being, their spirituality is so deep that if they feel they have no purpose in life, they will just cease living. Now, I remember seeing a show many years ago, which was about a person who worked psychically with animals. And it was very interesting about this one cat who had been living near a doctor's office and who became very depressed. And nobody could understand why the cat was so depressed. It was difficult for everybody, so what they had to do was they had to understand the purpose of the depression, so they called in the psychic lady. And she found out that the cat had a job at the doctor's office. The cat's job was to come up when people were coming to the doctor's office and greet them and walk with them to the door so that they would feel accompanied into the doctor's office and then go back and wait for the next person. But because these doctors had moved and the office was no longer functioning that way, the cat had nothing to do anymore, and it was very depressed because it couldn't welcome the people to the office anymore. And as soon as they found the cat another place in the same building to be associated with and welcome people again, then the cat became very happy. Now, we people, we could never imagine that a cat would feel it had a job, it had a purpose, and it was doing its job and feeling very good about it. But they feel that this is their purpose in life, to fulfill these certain functions. I know my dog, his absolute function is to guard the house. He's looking out the windows. He's checking if anything's around that shouldn't be there. And he barks like mad when something strange is going on. And he feels very good about that because this is his job. Now let's understand this a little deeper. We know, of course, that all animals are spiritual souls. They have spiritual energy. They are showing emotions. They are reciprocating with us. And they are, of course, living beings who express living spiritual energy. Now, because of that, naturally, they have this feeling of being, and that feeling of being is associated with how they express their being. There are examples of racehorses who are completely absorbed in running and winning as an expression of their being. And when they win and they have the garland, they feel just wonderful. It's their spirit, it's their feeling that this is why I am here, to win this race. And when they're not running, they get depressed. Now, let's understand this in relationship to people, because the way the animals deal with it and the way people deal with it are different, but what they are dealing with is very similar. Because every spiritual being has that feeling of beingness and of purpose. When there are people who no longer feel any purpose in life, just like animals, they just wish to fade away. Now, the difference between animals and people is that animals don't have any system within them to hide how they feel or to hide their spiritual deep understanding. But people are very, very expert at it. We are capable of feeling totally miserable, totally depressed, without any purpose, and walking down the street smiling. If somebody says, "How are you?" we say, "I'm fine." Now, an animal will just directly display its fundamental being. A human being will basically never do so. Yet for all living beings, the beingness and the expression of it in terms of our purpose of life is the same. Because this is a symptom. This is one of the fundamental characteristics of all spirit. Now, I have been in the back of my mind, when I'm not doing all of this technical stuff to fix all the problems we have, but in the back of my mind, I rumble, there's a rumbling going on about what's really the ultimate root thing. The ultimate root of all things upon which all things either flow or don't flow. Now, I don't know if that's possible to find. I don't know if it's possible to even speak about, but it's a very interesting process to try to come to that. Now, when I try to come to that ultimate thing, I come to something very similar, which we find in Vedic literatures or in any spiritual kind of a description. Now, specifically in Vedic literature, it would say that everything's resting on desire. Now, that's a pretty good description of the fundamental root thing. It's just that I think that some people have misunderstood what the word means, desire. For example, if I were to say, all creation flows from desire, that could be easily misinterpreted. Because when people speak about desire, they sometimes think about desires which are, I want to eat this, or I want to have some pleasure like this, or I want to get money. And if you were to say that from these desires all your life flows, that may not at all be true, because I know plenty of people who would love to have pleasure but just never do it. It's their desire and their life are actually quite separate. So if you were to say the thing that's stopping them is the intelligence, I would say the intelligence is not as powerful as desire. The intelligence is not as powerful as desire, so just simply because you have the intelligence not to do something doesn't mean that that's more powerful than the desire to do it. If you say that the desire has transformed to do something proper according to the intelligence, then you are again proving the point that desire is more powerful than intelligence, and you don't really desire the pleasure. But in reality, I would say that the word desire is not exactly the right word to use. I would put in its place the word purpose. Now, purpose, it's it's a very much clearer word. It's a focused word. It really brings the situation to one very powerful point. Whereas when you speak about desire, it could be such a broad spectrum of things that one could get lost in trying to make one's way through which desire, how desire, what desire. And when you say purpose, it focuses it very clearly. Back to the animals for a second. Back to a cat. A cat likes to eat, of course. A cat likes to play. A cat likes to do things like everybody else. But the cat has a purpose too. Now, I know also that it's very hard for us to understand them. It's much easier for them to understand us. In fact, it's kind of funny, but like our dog understands us better than we understand us. When we're all running around in stress trying to do this and that, he simply goes, "Oh, good grief, when are these people going to cool off?" So these creatures, they become very enlivened when we enter into their world and understand their needs according to what they are. Actually, if you think about it, this is the principle of all healing, that if you really want to heal somebody, you have to enter into their realm and see things from their point of view and understand their problem. And there from your position to, in that understanding, bring them to the situation where they could be healed or feel better. Now, it's also interesting that when we enter into the realms of creatures or of plants or of nature, we become healed. Human beings have created a world in which animals are no longer important. Nature is not seen in the same way. For example, in the older times, horses were, or bulls, depends on your culture, were the means of livelihood. Therefore, their feelings, their needs, protecting them, caring for them, was as important as any other family members. Because your livelihood, your survival, the survival of your whole families, depended on these creatures. And therefore, you took care of them as you were taking care of your children. And to take care of them in such a good way, you had to be in tune with what they needed, in tune with how to help them, to grow food, to take care of the trees which gave fruit or whatever. You had to be in tune with their needs. Nowadays, you can walk to any store and you can buy whatever you want. If you do grow some plants or you do have a pet, it's not for your livelihood. It's just like a sport. It's a hobby. Ultimately, if your plant dies, you get another one. Even if your pet dies, you get another one, horrible as that may sound. And because you have no serious reason to have connection with nature or with these other beings, you don't do it usually. Because of this, people have become disconnected from those beings in this world who used to help people be very whole and very balanced. I personally find that when I have anxieties, I have difficulties I can't deal with, if I go into the forest with the trees and I just absorb their energy, I just connect with them, they support me. Their energy is powerful. Their energy is stable. Their energy is supportive. How important are trees? We can't imagine. The plants, the nature, the whole mood of nature supports us, nourishes us, balances us. And these animals do it too, in the same way. Because in the holistic scheme of things, human beings, plants, animals, all beings support each other in a perfect, spiritually ecological whole. It's not just that you have to recycle your food to keep the growth going, or these things are part of a holistic whole to support our biological being. But our spiritual being requires to be nourished and to be connected in this holistic situation, because it's a spiritual entity as well. So this is a very important understanding. And we can learn from everything in this world. We can learn from these animals who so clearly have a purpose. Some dogs, for instance, their whole purpose in life is just to keep companionship with lonely people. If somebody in this house is very upset, my dog will go over and try to pacify them and lick them and make them feel better. When somebody's feeling lonely, he will go there and lay on their feet and always be there. They feel our pain and they wish to help us. Their purpose is to be there together and just help. Now, what is our purpose? Do we even think about what is our purpose? Well, sometimes we do. Sometimes we think about what is our purpose. We wonder, what am I here for anyway? We usually think that when we're frustrated, when we're disturbed, when we have no solution to our problems, when somebody we love dies, we become very philosophical and we wonder, what is the point of life anyway? What am I here for? But if you consider the vast amount of time that we are conscious in our lives, it's only a very, very small amount of time, practically insignificant, that we ask such questions. And it's not even that we have to ask these questions, because it's the fundamental basis upon which our whole life exists. And in this fundamental basis upon which everything exists, our whole life depends on having that feeling that our life has meaning. And when we feel a purpose or a meaning in our lives, then we are comfortable, we can expand. When we don't feel that, we're always feeling uneasy, unhappy, frustrated. Knowing your purpose in life is making one very secure, but having no idea of it and even questioning whether it exists is dangerous. And the reason it's dangerous is because you'll have the same reaction that a cat would have when it has no purpose in life. You just fade away and in a human, sophisticated way, commit suicide. Humans don't have to run in front of a car to commit suicide. They do it by eating the most impossibly wrong foods, or they smoke themselves to death, or they drink themselves to death, or they drugs themselves to death. We, in a very sophisticated way, can ruin our lives so that we have an excuse to no longer be in this world. We can create disease within us, which will kill us. But even if you don't wish to talk about that exit strategy, there are many other problems too. Even if you manage to live a long life, what's the use of it if there's no happiness, there's no enthusiasm, there's no inspiration? Those who have a purpose in life, they can do many things with great energy. They are powerful people. Those who have no purpose in life find that it's impossible to do anything. So it's a question of feeling that purpose. And if I were to boil all things in life down to one root point, I would say it's we must have that purpose in life. We must be aware of it. Because without that purpose in life, life becomes very difficult to live. There has to be that there. It's not like it's an option. So then somebody may ask, well, what if I don't have a purpose? What if I really don't have a purpose in life? Well, it's not possible to not have a purpose in life. If you don't have a purpose in life, it's not because you don't have one. It's because you just don't know what it is. Everybody has a purpose. Not everybody knows their purpose. Each, every individual one of us have a reason, have a purpose. But capturing that, discovering that is, I would say, the number one task in life. And sometimes you can't discover that until you stop fighting with all of the things you're trying to keep away from you. Sometimes we're so busy resisting this and resisting that and resisting the other thing that we forget to find out what it is we're really after. For one who knows their purpose, for one whose spirit has connected with that purpose and is manifesting it, there are very few questions in life. They are not frustrated. They are not doubtful. They do not lack confidence. They are not bewildered. They know what it is that they must do. And most importantly, they feel good about it, and they feel good about themselves. So probably the greatest blessing in life is to know your purpose. Now, some people think their purpose is to go back to God. That's everybody's purpose, to always be connected with the Supreme, always be connected with the Divine. But within that general understanding, there are very specific things which are tailored to our specific spiritual personality. And it is all just dependent on our being blessed with that beautiful vision of what really it is that I am here for. It doesn't have to be a big thing. You don't have to be here to save the world. You don't have to be here to discover a cure for cancer. You don't have to be here to solve all the economic problems of the poor. But it would be wonderful if that happened. But we may even be here just because we are naturally desiring to be of service. Just being of service, just being there for the sake of others is a wonderful thing. And there is nothing greater than doing such service for the sake of expressing your love. Because there are so many wonderful things to be done by being a conduit of that love that comes from the Supreme and helping to spread it here in this world. It is a perfectly beautiful purpose in life to just be a reflection of that love for the sake of others. It is a very beautiful thing to just be aware of others, be aware of their life, be aware of their situation, and to offer them that help that is needed at that moment. Because in this way, one can very beautifully transform one's own life and the life of others around them. Now, I know this is something we spoke about last week, and probably it's the same thing we've been speaking about all along, but I wanted to pinpoint that this is really the core of all development of life. That one thing that if you do will make all things in life flow, will make all things go beautifully. I have a lot of questions. Somehow or another, it seems that there is a lot of interest in this subject. So I'll just go through all of the questions one after another. Basically, a lot of questions are there on how does one realize or find out their purpose in life? Well, now, I don't think you're going to get from me a step-by-step, this is what you do, you start here, you go do this, you do that, but I'll try to give some principles. The first thing, obviously, that one needs to do is to try to first think, what is my purpose in life? If you realize you have no answer to that, or you're not satisfied with your answer, then you move to the next step. One can go into a meditative state. in a very relaxed state, with the intention of getting an answer to this question. And when one is very deeply in that state, to ask to those personalities who are there assisting us, who are there throughout our lives, what is the purpose of my life? And to just receive the answer, and to not fight with it. There's a problem people have. And that problem usually revolves around somebody making a question like, what is the purpose of my life? And then getting an answer, and then not accepting it. Just like when you say, you know, you're asking somebody, I really got to know what's wrong with me. And as soon as they say it, you go, no, I don't accept it. That kind of a thing. You know, you ask somebody, you know, please tell me what's wrong with me or what you don't like. And then when they actually tell you honestly, you get very upset. Some people just don't like to hear about these things. There's something makes them scared about it. Because usually it is because the answer to that question would imply such a huge personal responsibility. And most of us are afraid to take the commitment to fulfill such a huge responsibility. And in that case, the main thing keeping us from understanding it is our desire not to understand it because we're afraid what it means. So probably the most significant thing anybody can do to discover the purpose of their life is to actually want to hear the answer to that question. Now, I know that sounds funny that one may say, what I really want to know, but actually, they really don't want to know. So, the first and foremost thing when you say you want to know the purpose of your life is to really want to know the purpose of your life and not be afraid of that. Because when you're afraid of it, no matter what answer you get, you just won't be ready for it. So that brings us to another point about being ready to receive information. That means that you may seek out information, you may have information come to you, but unless you're ready for it, it won't mean anything. Just like sometimes you hear something and you'll hear it again and again and again, or you'll read it, or you'll understand, you'll come to, it'll come in your consciousness. But all of a sudden, one day you go, whoa, now I understand it. Because often, it is required that we go through various internal processes, we go through various internal adjustments until we can understand something. We have to be ready, we have to come to the right point. So time is also a factor. It has to be the right time. There's also place as a factor. Let's say you have an understanding of a purpose, but you're in the wrong place completely. So often you can't manifest properly yourself until you are in the proper place. So these external kind of factors, I mean, of course, they're also internal when it comes to being ready, are also very significant. And then when it comes to actually understanding or finding out how to understand, when these factors are available, it becomes much easier. Now, sometimes there are people who can give you their input as to what is your purpose. They know you, they've experienced what you can do, they understand the pattern of your life. Now, sometimes these people can give you a very clear direction as to where to find your purpose. But sometimes people have a vested interest, which means that they're not impartial. They have some partiality or prejudice, which causes them to slant their answer to you in a certain way. Therefore, you can't trust everything. Therefore, getting information from others is as good as the person giving it only. Therefore, one has to be quite careful when one wishes to get information in that manner. But there is another method. It's a kind of like a deductive process by which you go from the unknown to the known. Let's say you're really not sure what your purpose is. You're really not trusting anybody to tell it to you. You know that you're on your own to figure it out. So you can start to assemble information. Now, I wouldn't say that you could assemble information like what makes you feel best, because that can be tricky. Because you may not be able to generalize from certain activities which make you feel good. You may not be able to generalize up to a principle which will help you understand your purpose. But one could say that if one has to look in the more general direction, instead of saying, perhaps, I like to talk to people, or I like to talk to that kind of person, or I like it in this situation, one would generalize to, my purpose is related to communication. This is just an example. You could use it in relationship to healing, or in relationship to cooking, or in relationship to taking care of family, or whatever. It's just an example, so we'll stick with that example. Now, okay, if your purpose is related to the principle of communication, that is not specific enough to really call it a purpose. It just means that your purpose would be within the realm of communication. How specifically you communicate is not necessarily important. It's not a significant thing. There are other more significant things. For example, what you communicate. And yet, within that what is also a subcategory called how you communicate that subject. And I'll explain that, because let's say you feel your purpose is to communicate, and you even understand what it is you should communicate. Let's give an example of you like to communicate spiritual things. But then you have to go into the subcategory of how you communicate spiritual things. Here's an example of why that's important, because somebody may be into communicating spiritual things but really have a purpose of showing to others how superior one is. Because somebody may be interested in using that subject as a way to become very big or very powerful, or may want to manipulate people into economic benefit. And these self-interested kind of things are not to anybody's benefit. They're not a purpose of life. When the purpose of life is so intimately connected to the spirit, these kind of exploitative things are not possible to be purpose, as they're not possible to be connected to the spirit. In other words, exploitation is part of a distortion of the spirit. It's not actually possible within the clean spirit. So, in the how of communication, in the how of this example, spiritual communication, one would then clarify that with love, but even more, with care. One could communicate with love, yet say things which are completely inappropriate or not at all helpful, but it's a very loving thing. So we're not yet at purpose. We're still working our way down the levels. So let's go down another level in this. Well, okay, you're communicating with love and with care, but care about what? So you have to now analyze. Well, I care about that person, but I care. So what is the point of my caring? What am I trying to do? Well, I know in my own life, it seems that this example is close to me. So in my own life, I care because I want you to be able to figure it all out for yourself. So my purpose is to help you find your purpose in your way. So back up a level, I have to do that with care to not tell you what to do or to tell you what you are, but rather to assist you so that you may understand it. Now, I wish I could say that the thing that's your purpose is the thing you do all the time, that just comes to you all the time, that just flows to you all the time, and that you're absorbed with all the time, but it's not so. For example, in my life, it's only happening on Saturday and maybe if somebody comes around. So it's something that happens rarely, but when it happens, I know this is my point. But then there's more to it. It's like uncovering an onion. There are layers involved. And then you see there are so many other things involved, like creating this technological facility. Somebody else would say it in terms of creating community. Bringing people together, and bringing people together in a way that accommodates a wide variety of people and somehow or another makes sense to everybody universally. So then we're going back up to the level of what we communicate. And when we come back down to the how, we find ourselves in structure. We find ourselves in a technological structure, a community structure, a philosophical structure. So here's where purpose, discovering purpose, starts to broaden very much and become something very global. In other words, to fulfill the purpose of caring and loving and wishing to be of service, one has to create the facility within which that happens, which is a bigger purpose in itself. And this starts to push the brain out and it starts to make a whole shaking in the head, because there's even a broader purpose, a more direct purpose. And I guarantee you, it's the same for each and every one of you. And it is something which you just find at the bottom of every search for purpose in every person. And that is to be the vehicle through which the supreme, through which the divine energy will flow, so that whatever it is you have to do will just manifest with a reflection of that energy of the supreme. So I could say you could do the deductive method or you can do the inductive method. The deductive method we just went through in this discussion up to this point. The inductive method would be, I should just simply channel the energy, be a conduit of the energy, let the energy of the Supreme flow through me and cause me to do whatever it is I must do. And as that energy is flowing like that, I will discover so many capacities, so many services, so much facility. Both of these methods are equally valid because they both end up at the same place, understanding purpose and manifesting it. And it might be, and I use this myself, you merge both deductive and inductive. You reach from one side to deduce it and figure it out, and then you try to take the energy of the Supreme and let it flow through you, and you let these two meet all the time. And sometimes you see that it's easier to do. Sometimes you see it's harder to do. So you have to move towards the deductive to find your way back, or go up to the inductive to find your way forward. And in this way, it's a method to understand. I hope that answer helped. I think that was, I mean, to me, it was kind of a cool answer. I mean, I may be overconfident. I thought it was interesting, this discussion. Now, I have another question which is related to this, about that sometimes you think you have a purpose. And sometimes you push forward with big enthusiasm to realize your purpose, but then obstacles come, difficulties come. Does this mean it's really not your purpose? Hey, if I believe that, you would not be having this conference today. You can't imagine how many things can go wrong with this system. It's just phenomenal. You have to just fix things. And it's like My control panel had a bug in it, and I had to fix it. That's why nobody could connect to me anymore. And if I thought, this stuff's happening all the time, I should just give up. It's not my purpose, because it's hard. How about Arjuna? You think you got problems? I think I got problems. He's sitting on the other side of a battlefield, and there are millions of guys whose only purpose in life is to kill him. Whatever problems we have are meaningless compared to that problem. Whatever obstacles you have are insignificant compared to that obstacle. And he didn't give up, because the difficulty of fulfilling your purpose, the obstacles that appear when you do it, are in no way related to whether or not you should. Because the struggle through which one has to go to do what one has to do is an intimate part of that. Now, there is another possibility, which is that you really are thinking that your purpose is something that is not correct. In other words, you think your purpose is this, but it's not so. In other words, on the other side of the issue, you know, to take the other side, you might really not know what your purpose is. You may think it's one thing, but it's actually something else. And because of that, you may have so many obstacles and so many difficulties that may make you feel very frustrated. But you may feel similarly, not exactly the same, but similarly, even if it is your purpose. So you should not, determine the worth of what you are doing on the basis of the pain it takes you to do it. Don't forget the phrase, a very important one, easy come, easy go. If you look at any great personality in history, you will see how it's incredible the pain, the problem, the struggles they had to go through to accomplish what they did. Life is always work, whether you do it in full knowledge or you do it in ignorance. So, then there's another question also related. Let's say somebody understands their purpose, or somebody really wishes to move in the direction of this, wants to do something, but just somehow can't get moving. Objects at rest tend to stay at rest. Objects in movement or motion tend to stay in motion. Let's say somebody is moving in the direction that's fairly unaware, then their tendency is to continue to be so. So to understand something different, they have to stop first and move in another direction. So they're moving in a certain motion, and then it takes work to stop them and shift the direction. It's probably easier than having to move somebody who's not moving anywhere at all, because then you really have to push. But let's put it like this. What if you just don't have any enthusiasm to move in another direction? Let's say you just don't have that spark in you which is required to shoot off your rockets to move in another place. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do to move forward? Well, okay. There's not that much you can do, because you're already in rest. When you are yourself not very inspired, it's very hard from within to become inspired. That's where guys like me are very useful. Because we come and we stick our thumbs right in the middle of your complacency and we say, you got to do something. No, you can't just stay. No. Sleep, wake up. Now, sometimes that works. Sometimes people go, who's that guy think he is? Like my dog at night, he's upside down. And if you try to move him, he goes, grr, I'm sleeping. Leave me alone. So sometimes we just don't want to be pushed. That's natural. That's okay. But then we have another problem. That nature is there. And nature is a very amazing thing. The universe is a very amazing thing. When we really, or we have some deeper desire, or we had some deeper desire, to evolve like this, to move forward, but we don't manifest it, the universe echoes that old desire back to us. And sometimes circumstances and situations develop around us which force us to examine our life, which force us to move forward. And that may manifest because of people, or it may manifest because of economic situations, or it may manifest because of catastrophes. I don't know. There may be a million reasons. Who can say? So I think that clarifies that question to some extent. Okay, here's an interesting way to think about it. Purpose as related to our capacity. It seems that perhaps one has many capacities, can do many things, yet one doesn't understand how they are related to one's purpose of life. Sometimes people become bewildered by that. They think, well, I have all these capacities, but maybe I should just do all these things. And one becomes absorbed in doing things. One can be so bewildered by doing things that one forgets about figuring out what's important. You know, just because I might have a capacity to ride a motorcycle, for instance, doesn't mean I should do it. I happen to be a very good sword fighter, but does that mean I should do it? So I have to focus my capacities on that which is related to that which is important to me. In other words, I will choose not to be absorbed in certain activities, which I can do, and I can do very well, because I wish to focus on the most important things. Yet at the same time, when it came to this kind of stuff that we're doing here, I didn't have any capacity to manage a server, especially using Linux. I never even heard of it. So I had to start from the very beginning and figure out what I was doing, learn it, expand my capacities. Because it was related to what I wanted to do, what I had to do, what is my purpose, I had to enter into new fields and learn them. So just simply having capacity, just simply knowing how to do something is not necessarily related to the purpose of your life. And on the other hand, if you know your purpose and it demands that you learn other things, you expand your capability, then you do so because you want to fulfill it. Now, people are also asking, what if I have more than one purpose? I don't feel like I only have one purpose in life. I have many purposes. That may be true, but if you just expand a little bit what it is that you think your purpose is, it'll fit within a bigger picture. That's why I gave the example of originally talking about communication, but then expanding it outwards into somehow creating community. Because within community, there are many kinds of purposes that work together. So you have to lift up your consciousness awareness up to that place where you fit under an umbrella which accommodates all that you are. Now, an interesting thing which I have a comment here is that sometimes we are not aware of our purpose, or let's put it another way, we don't really feel that we have generated that purpose. It seems to be something coming from a higher realm. And it's possible that sometimes our capacity or our situation and the purpose that may come to us contradict in such a way that it causes the destruction of somebody. Sometimes we may not feel we have a purpose in life. Sometimes that purpose may come to us. It may be placed upon us. We may be moved into that purpose. And as I said before, we're uncomfortable with it in many ways, yet we're moving with it. We're cooperating, but we're not very comfortable with it. And then there'll be this shifting in the universe according to our purpose. In other words, the energy coming at us will be very great. And while trying to manifest that purpose that we really aren't so happy with in the first place, we can get crushed by it. The same thing can happen even if you're comfortable with the purpose of your life. Last question, and then I want to do a meditation. Okay, I knew this was going to be a tough one. That's why I saved it for the end. There are people who have had very difficult pasts. People who have really gotten themselves messed up in life. People who have done not nice things to others, who have done things not nice to themselves. So they're living with this burden on them, this karmic burden. So when I talk, for example, about purpose of life to such people, I may be saying things which are completely irrelevant to them. They may be 5 million kilometers away from trying to come to understand the purpose of their life. Yet, if you think about it, it's not so. Because for such people, this dealing with the way they were and coming out of it, transforming because of it, evolving because of it, is the purpose of their life. If you remember what I said before, it's not that we have to have the purpose of life to save the world. It can be something very simple. And in such cases, just to purify, just to cleanse oneself and transform oneself like a caterpillar into a butterfly, from this restricted self to this beautiful self, may be the only purpose. It may even be the most important thing in life is just to understand how one was and how to purify that. You've often heard the example that you can't take, for example, gold in your hand. If your hand is full of rocks, you have to throw the rocks away, then take the gold. That's relevant in this case. So in some situations, you have to deal with what you've got, and that is one lifetime or even five lifetimes accomplishment. Of course, one might do that by being of service to others, by understanding others, by being careful and loving. And then, of course, here is the opposite situation, is somebody who is very spiritually blissful, doesn't need to find a purpose, just simply accepts whatever comes to them and is always relating in love and with a desire to be of service.